This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Jill Ekus from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 22nd, episode 1657. Holy cow, that's a lot. This episode is brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Wednesday.
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy. Wednesday, yes, Glenn is not here. He is on his way to Road to the Horse, getting set up there. So I have Jill with me, and I'm glad you said your last name. Ekus?
Ekus. E. With the, yeah, big E.
Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with me during the show.
Hey, anytime. I'm so excited. Oh, my goodness. We got so much going on. Okay.
It's all girls on the show, and yeah, all have to have a name of Jay. So it's Jamie, Jill, and Jennifer. So isn't that adorable?
Love it.
Now, Jill, tell me a little bit about yourself, aside from the fact that you're like 11 months pregnant right now, right?
Yeah, pretty much. 11 months pregnant. My husband likes to inform me that we now weigh the same size.
Oh, God, I hate them when they do that.
Oh, you know, the worst part about it is he started this weird powder drink shake diet thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to cut my fat down. I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks. Yeah, cut your fat down.
No, right? You know what he wants. He wants to weigh less than you and be able to say that.
Yeah.
Because my husband did the same thing. He's like, oh, if you outweigh me, like, seriously, I'm like, well, you better get fat then.
I know, right? I was like, what happened to the sympathy eating? However, at the end of the day, he starts out his day with this shake, and then he does, you know, all this like clean eating. And then at 10 o'clock at night, he's like, babe, you want some ice cream? And then he gets a giant bowl of that Moose Tracks ice cream with chocolate sauce on it. I'm thinking, how is that part of your diet? And how are you even still losing weight? And why doesn't that happen to me? That doesn't even make any sense.
But yes, I want ice cream.
Yeah, I do. I want ice cream. And I've been eating it with him, which is why I am now the same weight as him. And
so
that's okay.
Sorry. What's your due date?
The due date is May the 4th be with you. Yes.
That's awesome.
I know, we're Star Wars fans here, but I'm actually getting a C-section. So my son was emergency C-section. And so my doctor just said, you know what?
You have to do it.
Yeah, let's just do it. And so May 1st is now my official date, and it'll happen at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I was hoping to get it the week before during Rolex because I had it planned out that I was going to stay in the hospital for 3 days. Somebody would be bringing my food and taking my child away and bringing my food and taking my child away. And I could just sit there and watch. Rolex. But my doctor, that jerk, wasn't really, you know, going to go with that. I said, wow, that's not fair.
I need to online stream right now, and I need somebody to take care of this screaming baby. So I'm going to need you to go ahead and move this up a day or two.
Yeah.
And I gotcha.
May 1st
is a good day. It's a good day. So you are, before you went and got all pregnant, you are an eventer, or you like event? What's your horsey background?
Okay, so my horsey background is, like, I started out like pretty much everybody else. I was the friend of the girl who owned the horse, and mom couldn't afford it, so I kind of like followed you around and carried all your crap at your shows and things like that. But when I got older, you know, a couple things happened that I needed an outlet. So I took me and my son, and we started some lessons at a place called Darby Downs Equestrian Center in Irwin, but it's closing soon. So
yeah, where are you? Hold on. Where in the world?
I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and just a town probably about 25 minutes from my house is, you know, like country. If Pittsburgh, the way it is, it's a huge city, But you can go about an hour to 45 minutes outside of Pittsburgh and be in country. So you can have like just mountains and So it's really kind of the best of everything. It really, really is. And so, yeah, so we do have lots of horses here and lots of horse people. So I started, I've always been interested in eventing, and probably because the same reason everyone else who watched Sylvester was like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. But of course, I was like, heck no, you're not doing that. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I really like to. So now that I'm older, you know, I'm 39 years old, I'll be 40 in June, and I have decided that I would like to become an eventer. I know it's not the smartest move in the world.
But I love that. Oh my God. So check this out. I'm 39 and I'm going to be 40 in October. So you're older than me.
Yeah, I'm older than my husband too. He likes to point that out. Thanks, Jamie.
Oh my gosh. So so you're having a baby at this advanced age too. So that's isn't that fun when you're pregnant and you're over 35, they treat you like you're going to die.
Yeah.
We need to check that baby out.
Yeah, they like advanced maternal age. They like to say it. And then for whatever reason, everyone else around me likes to say it too. Like there's other pregnant women at my job. And they're like, oh, aren't you advanced maternal age? Like, yeah, I am.
Thanks. And I also can punch you in the face. At my advanced maternal age.
I have less tolerance of stupidity than you do at my advanced maternal age, and you might die. So I.
And you know what? At my advanced maternal age, I lived my 20s.
Exactly. Exactly. I didn't have to pop out a baby at 22.
I went out in my 20s. All right. So we're going to have to get to our first guest in just a minute. Sorry. But did you have a daily Winnie you wanted to do?
I do have a daily Winnie.
I didn't want you to miss that. So, Jennifer, do you want to hit the music? Or are you busy? We'll see if it comes on. All right. So she's busy. Okay. So I'll do it.
Thank you. Okay, so my daily winning goes out to an off-track thoroughbred named Levi. So yesterday, a friend of mine let me get on her horse, Levi, who's one of the most stubborn, annoyed with life horse that there is. However, he doesn't spook and, you know, want to buck you off. I climbed on this horse, and everyone saw him just delicately just place his feet one in front of the other, round up, and just treat me with like kid gloves. And I'll tell you what, I have a whole new respect for this thoroughbred. I mean, I didn't think that, you know, he would be so gentle. And it's like they know that something's going on with you. So here I am riding around on my friend's horse, Levi, off-track thoroughbred, who doesn't ever want to do anything. And he's just moving forward and being easy and not tossing his head. So my daily winning goes.
And that's amazing. It's odd, actually, because I had two horses when I was pregnant that I owned, and Jet, my horse, it was like at 4 or 5 months, he started getting super spooky. And I'm like, you don't spook at things. You're an event horse. And all of a sudden, being pregnant 4 or 5 months, totally spooky. And Edward, the horse I had recently gotten off the track, totally calmed down.
Wow.
And I rode him, my training level event horse. I had to stop riding him at 4.5 months because he was so dangerous. And this off the track thoroughbred I got, I rode until I was 8 months pregnant.
Yeah. I tried to go know. That far. Yeah, they do. They know, they really do. And I guess I wasn't expecting it out of Levi. Yeah. Because he's so
it's a
cranky.
Weird thing.
Yeah.
Weird. And some horses get better, but I don't recommend riding till you're 8 months pregnant. No.
I rode till about 5 months, and then my balance started getting off, and I said, yeah, let's just not do that.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I don't not recommend it, but I can't, like, recommend it. I think we're going to get our first guest on here. Okay. Jennifer is the guest here. You can type to me. Otherwise, I'll just sit here and chat with Jill. So, Pittsburgh, what's the weather like?
Well, we had a 60 degree day yesterday. It was still a little cool, but it was definitely nice. It's spring starting to come. We just went through another cold spell. It dumped some snow on the ground, and you know, I woke up cursing the day and hating people who live in Florida, but you know, whatever. And but now it's getting nicer, so spring should be on its way, and hopefully in the next couple weeks here we should warm up. But we get about a week of spring, and then it's hot and nasty.
Yeah, yeah. I can't say that Pittsburgh is my favorite place.
No, have you ever been?
Yeah, I actually spent 2 weeks in Mars, Pennsylvania.
Oh well, that's why.
Yeah, that was my taste. But Pittsburgh is a beautiful city, and we went up to like the top where you can kind of overlook the whole city and see the water. I'm sorry, I think it was Philadelphia. I was in. Yeah.
For crying out loud, that's like the whole
To Philadelphia. I don't like Philly. I like Pittsburgh because have the Pirates, and I don't like the Phillies. Any Phillies fans either? So yeah. Okay, you're all right then. I'll keep you.
Hey, thanks.
Yes, that's right. I was in Philadelphia. Yeah, that place was terrible. and currently, I do apologize to all our listeners in Philadelphia.
You guys have really great cheesesteaks, though. Like the best.
And I'm a vegetarian, so I didn't even sample that. But I'm sure, you know, I can't even say anything nice about your baseball team because I'm a Braves fan. So,
and I'm
whatever.
Not allowed to say anything nice about your baseball team because I'll get beat up.
Yeah, you're kind of a interstate rival there. Well, you know, it's funny, the weather, we were just totally going for opposite, because here in Arizona it has been 90 plus degrees, and it's not fair to have that in March. But the next couple days it's supposed to get back down to the normal 70s and 80s of this time of year. So, because it's not like it happens in the summer where you get a 70 degree day, it just doesn't happen. It's horrible here. So you don't want to lose any of your special days.
I've been trying to convince my husband to move down there because I hate the cold weather. And I am a nurse, and I could make about twice as much money living in Phoenix than I do in Pittsburgh. But he absolutely refuses to even approach the weather down there.
Live somewhere nicer. I apologize again. To all of our Pennsylvania listeners today. So let's go to our first guest. We've got Leslie on, and Leslie is with Evolutionary Hoof Care. And Leslie, I believe, invented a new tool for horse owners. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, my pleasure. It's still dark out where I am, but I think I can still think.
Where in the world are you?
I'm in Seattle, Washington.
Okay. Gotcha. It's still dark here. I'm in Arizona. So good morning. I can't believe they got you on this nice and early. Thank you for waking up. You're a farrier though. Don't you get up early?
Well, I certainly did for a long time. I probably started chewing in the early 70s.
Oh, wow.
So I don't do that quite so much anymore.
Gotcha. Now you're an inventor. Yep. Tell us about the tool you invented.
Well, the story is kind of long, but to make it as brief as possible, I actually got started in hoof care by writing a book for a veterinarian and a farrier back in the 70s, which was a kind of reevaluation of hoof care and shoeing practices. And so I was just a young punk who, you know, I'd grown up with horses and thought I knew something, obviously didn't, but I had this bizarre opportunity to sort of digest all this material for two men who had been working together for years. Miles Van Heusen was the vet and James Miller was the farrier. And he'd grown up in Montana as a cowboy and actually worked cattle in Montana with barefoot horses. So that was the very beginning of this thing that led to us writing this book about natural hoof care, kind of creating the idea of natural hoof care. that book led to some pretty significant re-evaluations in hoof care practices in the 80s and inspired Jamie Jackson to kind of go on and create the barefoot hoof care movement. Excuse me. And over the years, I got, you know, more and more into the idea that barefoot was certainly healthier, but that it was a real problem to accomplish because of all the deteriorations of domestic life. And the need for kind of constant upkeep that, you know, you needed to get the horse owner involved. So that led me to experiment with various tools. Then I made tools for myself as I transitioned to more and more barefoot hoof care over the years. But it wasn't until, maybe 10 years ago that I thought, wow, there's a market for this now. People have really started to take it seriously. And so I took some of these designs I made for myself and tried to, improve them as much as I could, because my goal was to get horse owners to start to do regular maintenance on their horses so that barefoot would be more feasible. That's the short story. And I made invented tools for farriers back in the 80s. I had a tool business then too. But this is really different because most of the market for these tools, we have lots of professionals, but majority of people who are buying them are horse owners.
So this tool, this tool that you're talking about, can you describe it? Since we don't have a picture,
right,
and everybody.
So there's actually a whole set of new tools, a kind of complete set that are mostly alternatives to the traditional flat rasp and hoof knife. But the core of it is something we call the radius rasp. And the radius rasp, named radius because it's curved to make a rounded edge on the hoof wall. So it's about 4.5 inches long. It fits in one hand. So you have a one hand free to hold the hoof. And you basically go around the outer edge of the bearing surface of the hoof wall to keep it rounded, just like you'd use an emery board on your fingernails. And the idea was to make this, tool ergonomic, easy enough to use, and effective enough that you don't have to have any special skills to maintain your horse's hoof shape, prevent cracks and flares, and keep the length and the form in such a way that you can, if you're using boots, you can always get your boots on.
Now, Leslie, let me jump in here. I watched the video of this rasp, and you've got the foot, and you've got this person. I've never done this before, and they begin rasping, and you're saying that anybody can use it. I don't feel like I'm qualified to trim my horse's feet. I mean, you've got
right,
weight-bearing
right,
structures that you're taking off, and then you've got, I mean, this is something that you've designed to go in between trimmings with your farrier, correct?
That's right. So, with nippers, you can remove quite a bit of material very quickly, and if you don't know what you're doing, then you might take too much off. So the idea here is to make something that doesn't remove a lot of material at once, mainly it just smooths the edge. Because it's the deterioration of that bearing surface of the hoof that leads to cracks and splits and flares. So you'd have to work up a sweat if you were going to take, a quarter inch of hoof wall off. But you don't have to work up a sweat to take off a 16th or an 8th and just keep it smooth and protect it from deterioration.
So go ahead,
Joe. No, that's okay. I had a question, Leslie. You're saying it removes a lot of material at once. Now, I'm a new to the horsey world, and so for me to pick up a tool like this, how would I know what I'm removing and what I should be removing? I feel like if I was to do this, I would hurt the horse.
But my point is that it doesn't remove a lot at once like you would with nippers.
Oh, okay.
So the teeth are, there's two versions also. So we have one that has a perforated blade like a cheese grater. And so it's a smooth shaving blade. And then we have another way that is actually has a more traditional rasp with more pointed teeth on it. But they're still both made so that, you can push them without a lot of effort. We try to make this easy to do because that's the idea. But you don't take off very much material at once. You're just kind of smoothing the edge. You're sanding it. This is more aggressive than sanding. We also make a tool that sands, which takes even less material off. Mm-hmm. So you have a gradient. If you're really worried, you can just use the sanding tool on the edge of the hoof. You have a little more confidence. You use the radius rasp. But you in order to take enough material off, say, to make, maybe make the horse's sole thin, you'd have to work really hard with this tool.
Gotcha. So now, is there any online training, or where can people go to kind of watch and see kind of how to do this? Because I know, like, changing a horse's angles and certain things like that, like if you shave too much off the front, you're going to kind of adjust the breakover point, and then you've got a hind foot that's going to interfere with the front foot. So then you got to make the breakover the same. I don't know. Is there somewhere we can get trained on this?
Yeah. So we have a website, Evo, E-V-O, hoofcare.com, Evo for Evolutionary. And Evolutionary Hoof Care is the name of the business, the product line. And if you go to our website, we have a whole page of videos, really extensive videos, because I, you know, understood that this was new to people. So there's two purposes for the extent of our videos. One is that, you know, we want you to learn how to use the tools, but we also want to help people understand what they're trying to do. So, you know, they're really trying to round the hoof wall for to make it more durable, and therefore to keep their horses in shape enough to ride barefoot. There are videos for each tool. There's an introductory video that kind of shows you the whole line, the radius rasp and the hoof buffers, which are the sanders, and the sole and bar rasps, which you make for cleaning the excess horn off the bottom of the hoof as well, without using a hoof knife. That's an alternative to using a hoof knife, so it's a lot safer and easier to use. And again, the design of all three of these is that you can do decent maintenance, but you really can't go too far. You know, you're not taking off very much material at a time.
All right, great. So you can use this like kind of in it with your farrier. It's not, you're not designing this to like, hey, you can be your own trimmer. This is just something to give you a little touch up in between. And I do have a Mustang who would benefit by something like this if I felt confident enough to be trained to see the videos and feel like I was confident enough to do it. So you also have a Facebook page, and it's Radius Rasp is what they can search for, correct?
Yeah, or Evo Hoof Care.
Evo Hoof Care. Well, Leslie, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry we got to you a little bit late. We had some technical problems earlier, but we do appreciate you coming on. Evo Hoof Care and Radius Rasp is also where you can find it. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you, ladies. It's great to talk to you. And remember, you and your listeners, I made these tools for myself. They're all absolutely guaranteed satisfaction or your money back. I'm not interested in selling something to somebody they aren't going to use. So if you want to try it, you try it. We have very good customer support. The whole point is to make barefoot more possible. So anything, any questions, just contact us. And any tool you buy from us is completely guaranteed.
All right, Leslie, thank you very much. EvoHoofCare.com and Radius Rasp. Thanks.
Yeah, that's not going to be for me.
Hey, not everything's for everybody.
That's that's the thing. I love our farrier, Jamie. My son, you know, likes to have a little chat with him when he shows up, and we talk about hooker, but I'm just too new at it. That I would have to ask my farrier. I'd have to say, hey, what are we doing here? And, you know.
I'm of advanced maternal age, so I don't want to bend over.
I can't bend over because my belly's in the way.
Exactly. Now, we're going to play a commercial, and so basically Jennifer's making just tell me to ask a professional. Just contact a professional if you have any questions about this. We're going to play an ad from horselovers.com, and I was going to give my daily whinny to horse lovers because it has become a problem of mine. If you are not shopping on Horse Lovers, what are you doing? Like, why are you going to Dover? Don't do that. Horse Lovers is crazy awesome. So I just bought Baby Zara, a zebra print fly mask for like $6. And it's really nice. And then they had other fly masks on sale. So I needed to buy a couple more just because when Zeus is going to eat them. And then they had tiny little half chaps.
Oh, I know. Aren't they the best?
Luke, I'm going to be like, put this on. He's got little tiny Ariat boots that he was given by somebody else. And now he's got little tiny breeches that came from Horse Lovers. And now he's got little tiny chaps.
Oh, adorable. I love looking at my kid walking around in half chaps. It's like, somebody asked me, why do you buy this stuff for him? He's going to grow out of this. Because it's cute. You know,
for me.
It's more for me than it's for the child.
So. Oh, thank God. And you have a boy too. So you're not, you're playing dress up with your boy too. Okay,
that's good. Right.
I feel better. I feel so much better now. All right. So let's hear from horselovers.com. Jen, you ready?
We all get in a rut when it comes to shopping for horse supplies online. If you have not tried horselovers.com yet, then you are missing out on one of the world's largest online tack shops and all the best brands like Noble Outfitters, Ariat, Turn 2, Tough One, Professional's Choice, Weaver, and many, many more. Visit horselovers.com every day to see their daily deals and flash sales. Horselovers.com has everything for the Western and trail rider. So get on over to horselovers.com today and save.
He just wanted to get in on the show.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And today we are having our Indy Flax Horse Health Report brought to you. Jennifer, how do you say her name?
DeLu, Dr. DeLu.
Dr. DeLu. It looks like Dr. D. Lee-woo.
Yeah, there's a lot of extra letters. Yeah.
I do too many really bad ads to phonetically pronounce people's names. So she specializes in chiropractic and acupuncture work. And Jennifer did this interview a while ago. You could probably introduce this clip a little better than me. But this is some tips for dressage riders to keep their horses healthy and sound and not need her.
That's right. And Glenn actually did this one. So this ought to be interesting.
What?
Glenn doing a health topic. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah.
See you in a minute.
Hi, Dr. DeLu, and welcome back.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
Hey, today we continue the series that we're doing on chiropractic and the different disciplines. And really, it's more of a series about how to avoid chiropractic with the different disciplines, right?
Yeah. I mean, telling you what problems to be aware of and to be prepared for, but hopefully trying to not have those occur.
All right, and today we're talking about the ever-so-favorite of the horse husband, dressage.
Absolutely, and I have many, many dressage clients. They seem to be very in tune with when their horses need chiropractic work.
Can I put in a plug here? We do the Dressage Radio Show, and it's one of our most popular shows. When we started the Dressage Radio Show, and my co-host over there brought the idea to me and said, we need to do a show on dressage. I was the typical horse husband and went, oh, no. Do we have to? Because, you know, it's not our favorite discipline as a horse husband. I've grown to respect it a lot more.
Expensive one.
Yeah, I've grown to respect it a lot more. But it is the most passionate audience we have is the dressage audience of all the shows we do. So you're right. I believe that the dressage people truly are in tune with what's going on, and they have to be because they're doing such fine work with their horses. So so I was just agreeing with you in a very long-winded way to get a plug in for dressageradio.com.
Oh, great. I'll have to check that one out. But, yeah, my dressage clients seem to be very in tune with when their horses are not even or asymmetrical because balance and symmetry is so important for success in that sport. So I wanted to talk about when dressage horses do run into chiropractic problems, what they usually are, and what as trainers, owners, riders, we can do to hopefully lessen them or avoid them altogether.
Okay.
I would say, you know, the really high-level dressage horses, the Grand Prix horses that are being ridden by professionals or, you know, mere professionals, they actually tend to have less chiropractic problems in a way because they are so balanced and they're so fit and they're so strong that they are able to hold their adjustments quite well and be very even, which is often what people don't expect. It's like the training first, second level horses where I really find that I end up doing a lot of chiropractic work on them, and that's because they're just kind of getting in to dressage and to collection.
Right.
They're crossing
that threshold at that point.
Exactly. Like, they're just gaining the fitness and gaining the balance. And their body is working hard to, you know, do what their owners want, but they're still in the process. So they're getting used to, well, the rider sitting a little bit more on their back, and dressage riders do tend to put less weight in the stirrups and more weight down in their rear end to try and get, you know, very close and connected with the horse. And that can cause some discomfort sometimes in the horse's back. And then as the horse collects and it's engaging, it talks more and it's engaging its hind end more, its low back is also working a lot harder. So the being very gradual about increasing your level of collection and giving the horse lots of breaks tends to really help.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like with any sport, you just can't jump into it asking too much.
Now, let me ask you, and sort of related to that, one of the things that's been a constant theme throughout all of the shows that we do with the Benting and dressage and jumping, and where we're speaking to the, you know, the Olympic riders, the top levels of the sport, one of the things they always say, and I always found this interesting, is that every one of them says, yes, I trail ride my horse once a week. Do you find that to be advantageous from your side, to not only mentally but physically?
Absolutely. I mean, cross-training is just so important. Like, over-drilling in anything, you're going to get soreness and probably mental frustration, too, because the animals are working so hard to try and do what we want. So, I mean, with any kind of riding, even the people that drive, I say, trailer your horse to a trail and go drive your cart away from the arena.
Right.
But absolutely, just going on a loose rein and not collecting and just relaxing and letting all those muscles stretch is really key.
Cool.
And that goes with the whole long and low with dressage, letting the neck stretch, letting the back stretch, and trying to get those muscles longer and looser, and you won't have the joints getting as tight and the chiropractic adjustments being needed as much.
All right, cool.
Yeah, and then the last part would be the neck and the pole. You know, there's a lot of different theories with how much head flexion should be used and tightness and whether it's a double bridle or a snaffle. But I think the main thing is really listen to the horse. I mean, some horses will tell you right away if they're comfortable or uncomfortable with the amount of collection. And the pole up behind the ears and the upper neck can get really tight and sore. So letting them rest and listening to their cues and letting them stretch out in between little workouts is going to be key as well.
All right, great. So that's how you can avoid some vet bills with the discipline of dressage. And you know, you get to see the both sides of that. I'm sure you have the horses that you see once a year and they're doing a terrific job, and then the people that you see once a week. And it's where if they just made some changes themselves, it would solve that problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. My goal is to not see them every day or every week.
That's what boyfriends are for. Everybody else, once a month is plenty.
Perfect.
Well, thank you, Dr. DeLu. We appreciate you being on. What are we going to do in the next part of this series?
We will talk about jumping, stadium jumping, hunters, cross-country jumping, and what those disciplines might do to avoid some chiropractic work.
And how can people find out more about you?
They can find me at my website, equineholisticmed.com, or
Today's Horse Health Report is brought to you by ND Flax Milling. Find them online at ndflaxmill.com. ND Flax Milling is a family-owned business, producing quality products for their customers for generations. ND Flax Milling has an FDA-inspected mill, certified organic, non-GMO, whole flax seed that is milled at room temperature and then packaged and stored at room temperature away from any heat or light sources. This proprietary milling process keeps all of the omega-3s intact, so your horse can benefit from all of flax's natural nutrients. Yet it's convenient for busy horse owners, with a shelf life of up to 2 years. No more daily battles with the coffee grinder! Visit ND Flax online at ndflaxmill.com to purchase or to learn more.
Fairfield Inn and Suites North by Marriott Lexington is the ideal hotel for you, as they are the closest hotel to the Kentucky Horse Park. They have the most spacious guest rooms and suites in the area, and they're only 4 miles from downtown Lexington. Fairfield Inn and Suites North offers complimentary breakfast, free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel, free parking, a business center, an indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi, an outdoor patio with grill, laundry facilities, and much more. You get hungry, Cracker Barrel is located right next door, and there are 4 other dining options available within walking distance for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, Lexington is known for the Kentucky Horse Park, University of Kentucky, Keeneland, and the historical Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Enjoy a terrific hotel experience while you're touring Lexington. There's no denying that the Lexington North Fairfield Inn & Suites is the best value in town and will meet all your hospitality needs. Just Google Fairfield Inn North Lexington and make your reservations today.
She could have passed for a cowboy, the way she carried herself, and that 50 pounds of leather, put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins, and we started out walking. Up until that morning, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come a time, and she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get rattled, sit deep in the saddle, to hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. I remember what she told me, it's as clear as a bell as it was on that morning. It was kind of like a blessing and a warning. I've carried all this time, pass it on to my daughter. She loads up her car, heads out of the driveway. She'll have had enough of doing things my way. It'll be her turn to fly, and I'll say, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get rattled, sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight, and never than your guardian angel can fly. And ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. Yeah, yeah, now don't be in a hurry, you're feeling when you hit your stride. So don't get mad, sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. Don't you ever ride faster than your guardian angel. angel can fly. Remember, baby, she could have passed for a cowboy.
That is Templeton Thompson. Gosh, I love that song. It's called Guardian Angel, I believe.
I need one.
That's what it's called. Exactly.
Guardian Angel, TempletonThompson.com. And Jennifer, I don't think we've heard from Fairfield yet, have we?
We have. You missed it. It's the closest hotel to the horse park. Woohoo!
Okay, gotcha. So we did play that out. So we can go right to our guest.
Yay!
And Jill, here's the thing. We're going to just throw you in the mix here. You are going to handle
ready.
This.
I'm
you
ready.
Got it, girl.
Yeah, I can do it. Okay.
Introduce your guest.
Okay, so I have Laureen Fuller Vargas. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I like saying your last name. Your last name's fun to say. It's Vargas. Like, I have to, like, add an accent or something. I don't know why. But anyway, so, Laureen, you have an interesting thing happening down there in Ocala, Florida on March 24th through the 26th of this year. Why don't you tell us about what you're doing?
Well, we're having the inaugural Florida Thoroughbred Transformation Expo, and it's a three-day competition featuring all off-track thoroughbreds that have raced or at least been in race training within the last 4 years. And these horses are there for the weekend competing in one, up to three disciplines they can compete in out of eight. And they're competing for $36,000 in prize money. And our program and the idea of the show is based off of, the show is based off of, like, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Makeover, which has become a very popular show for off-track thoroughbreds annually. And we thought, you know, Ocala is the perfect place. We've been doing our Run for the Ribbons for the last 3 years, which has primarily been a hunter-jumper show series for off-track thoroughbreds. We started that in 2013. In 2015, we expanded to a retirement facility where we rehab them, we retrain them, we rehome them. And then this is kind of our next big step forward in our aftercare efforts is producing this expo where these horses, you know, recently retired are coming and showing the public and our community how versatile the thoroughbreds really are.
So I read a little something.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds great. I read a little article in a publication, you know, you might not know about called the Pollock Report. I know. So yeah. It was last month on the 16th, and you said that you felt that they needed access to a thoroughbred makeover or a thoroughbred adoption increase in Florida. Of course, one of your quotes. Yes. Yeah. So what have you done as far as any involvement with some of the groups down there as far as with the adoption or the placement of the off-track thoroughbreds that, say, have competed in your event? Or this is your first year for the event, right?
This is our first year doing this event. Like I said, we've done the Hunter Jumper Show series for the last 3 years. We've got a really big following. We've got, you know, we get an average of 30 horses to each show, and we do our year-end awards banquets and everything. And I've seen a demand, like, people are happy that this show is around and that they have a place to go and display their thoroughbreds. They're so proud. It's such a proud group of horse people. And it's for such a good cause, too. All of our program is a nonprofit 501c3, and all of our money that we make through the event go back into some of the horses in our program. We've currently got five in the program right now, and the money just goes back to those and helps them horses retrain. We take in horses with injuries. With my extensive background in the racing industry, you know, I'm not afraid to take in the ones that need the rehab and to help them out. You know, most of our horses are with us for a minimum of 8 months before we even begin finding them, you know, their forever home or their next home. We really like to, you know, let the horses settle in, know the horses, and we just wait for the perfect home to come along. And our show series, you know, has created a place for these horses and the current owners of off-track thoroughbreds in Florida. And, you know, there's clearly a market and a demand for such an event here. And I feel like we're really giving back to these horses. Like, it's really fulfilling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Who doesn't love their off-track thoroughbred, seeing what they can do? So you said there's 8 disciplines in your show, 8 different disciplines that they can choose from. Is that correct?
Yes, they can compete in show hunters, show jumpers, freestyle, dressage, cross-country, polo, and working ranch / lead pony horse. So they've got quite a variety, and then they can also enter a second or a third discipline, which we kind of geared that for the eventers that would want to do the jumping, the dressage, and the cross country. And we've seen a lot of the crossovers too, from the barrel racing to the working ranch discipline.
Now, see, this is what I was seeing.
I can't wait.
I want to see a thoroughbred doing some of these Western disciplines, because the thoroughbreds I've met have all been insane, crazy, spooky, all have these little vices. And I'm thinking, like, when I think of a Western horse, I think of I'm in control and somebody's shooting off the back of it and nothing's going to stop me. I'm running around this barrel. And I feel like for my thoroughbred, if I would want him to run around some barrels, I'd have to put something behind him that he'd have to run away from because they don't want to go.
I think now, yep. Jill, thoroughbred horses come from the track. They've seen a lot, but also they don't have a whole lot of training. The race horses, they have somebody propped up on their back and they're told to run, and then they get put back in a stall. So they don't have a thorough training like a quarter horse would or another breed. It's like, get them up there and get them running. And I mean, I have a background in the racetrack too, by the way. So, I've seen it. And so you've got to give a little bit of the thoroughbred a little leeway for what people get. This horse is like, oh, they're rideable, but they're not. They don't know what legs are. They don't know what turning is. They don't know. They haven't been desensitized to certain things.
Yeah, like they don't even know your leg means go.
No, and they and pulling on their mouth.
You put leg on a thoroughbred and they're like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and that's why I think it's so fantastic that all of these makeovers are coming through, because you're starting to see people do more. These freestyles are so exciting because they're people putting thoroughbreds in situations that they've never been in before, and they're using incremental and good training to get them to that point. If you don't do it right, a thoroughbred's not gonna do it for you. They're not gonna give you anything. Uh-huh. They're gonna give you everything if you do it right, but they're not gonna just hand it to you. And that's what's really exciting about thoroughbreds in general, is they will give you everything, and they can do anything, which is what all of these competitions are starting to showcase. Yeah, they can do working ranch, they can do barrels, they can do this and polo and all these different things. That they're just such amazing athletes.
They are. I'm really. It's good to see again other places cropping up other than just Kentucky, where they're doing shows like this to showcase your thoroughbred's talents. And especially Florida, such a big horse community down there, to have something accessible to people in a different state that maybe not can't make it up to Kentucky, you know, or just, I think it's great. I think we need more of it for sure.
Yeah.
Laureen,
I couldn't agree more.
talk to us a little bit about the, what kind of horse, when people can enter, is it too late? Is it going on? When is it going to happen? Give us all the like nitty gritty details.
It is too late to enter now. We have closed entries. We closed entries on March 12th. For office purposes, we want to be as organized as possible going into the event. But registration did open in January. We kind of announced the event late. We announced it in September. We had ideas and had started working on it last April, but we didn't want to release the information until we had all the stuff to throw to people. So we announced it in September. We opened registration. I want to say it was around December, and then they closed March 12th. So we got 31 horses entered already.
Awesome.
Our biggest discipline being the show jumpers, which has 12. And then our smallest discipline was the polo, which we kind of knew, it was a bad time of year for the polo players. They're very busy. But there's still all the other disciplines filled, and it is just incredible that like this is coming together and these horses, there's excitement. And I think next year, we plan on opening registration even earlier. Now people know about it. They're going to see it. We've got EQ TV network that is covering the event live. So there'll be, you know, promo videos after. And I think, like, the excitement's only going to build after this. And, you know, people are going to be eager for next year to come because it's going to be a really nice event and really special
It'll just get bigger for sure. Now, Jill, I don't know if you went to the website runfortheribbons.org, but I'm super jelly right now because they're giving out neck ribbons. And I want to win a neck ribbon so bad. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah. Not that far. Well, what's the criteria?
I wish I could Jamie enter myself, you know?
I know, right?
What's that?
I said, what's the criteria to enter? Like, what do you need? What
the
makes you eligible?
This year, to be eligible, the horse had to have run or been in work training since March 1st, 2013. So within 4 years of racing. And then what we also do on Sunday, we have our finale show, a little bit different than the Kentucky one. They take all of the champions in each discipline, and then they vote for America's Top Thoroughbred based on applause and everything. Whereas ours on Sunday, we're opening it to horses that didn't meet the eligibility, so horses that raced prior to 2013. And it's going to be like a variety show. We tried to get horses in each of the disciplines that can come out and show, like, that are seasoned. Can show just how far they can go past that 4 year point. Yeah. And so that's going to be like, it's kind of just a variety of fun show to celebrate the horses. The participants will get award, you know, like ribbons and participant medals. And that's just something that I thought, you know, what we need to sum it up. Like, we need to have a finale show where we're really just celebrating. We're coming together, watching a group of different thoroughbreds that, you know, have gone on. One of the horses was, you know, an Olympic level eventer. One is a seasoned working ranch horse. One is a seasoned polo pony that competes in the Wellington circuit. So it's just like, that's going to be a really cool thing too. So we tried to incorporate something for both the horses that met the March 1st eligibility for 2013 and the ones that didn't as well.
So what about baby Oldenburg mares? Baby Oldenburg mares. Can you enter a baby? I'm just trying to think how I can get Jamie in here so she can get her ribbon. And I mean, we can get you a thoroughbred.
They have to be a registered thoroughbred.
You're out, Jamie. Sorry.
Listen, Jill, I'm going to get my neck ribbon. Don't you worry. I'm going to get one. Listen, so where can people go
to get
find
a thoroughbred?
I've had plenty of those. I'm just a little thoroughbred poor right now. I need to get another one.
Yeah.
Runfortheribbons.org is the website, and any other place you guys have a Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page as well, Run for the Ribbons Thoroughbred Horse Show.
Okay.
And we have an Instagram. I'm not the best at updating and using that. I still haven't figured out the whole Instagram thing. So I advise people to go like the Facebook and either Facebook or our website. Those are going to always have the most up to date info. Facebook, we're really good at updating and keeping that regular.
But, all right, fantastic. Well,
the admission is free, parking is free for the event as well.
Okay.
You know, we encourage people to come out and support it. It's free parking, free admission.
Oh, that's awesome.
The spectators, very spectator friendly, family friendly. There'll be vendors there selling stuff. There's a food truck. It's going to be really cool. And seminars actually on both days as well, one on Friday and one on Saturday. So there's a lot for spectators to do as well.
Man, how cool this is. I'm so proud of you for getting this done, girl. You're a pioneer down there in Florida, and we appreciate it. And all these guys, they just need training. They need homes. And let's save as many as we can. And thanks for all the work that you do for the thoroughbreds. It's just awesome. It's awesome. And we can tell you're excited.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
All right. Runfortheribbons.org. Check that out. And we do appreciate you coming on. We're going to actually talk in just a second to the owner of Keen Ice. So,
thoroughbreds.
I mean, we're awesome. Sticking with the thoroughbred theme right now when racing. All right. Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon. I can't wait. Call, get in touch with us before the entries open for the next one. And let's talk about it and pre-promote it. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Sounds good. I will do that.
All right,
thank you guys so much. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, my thoroughbred spooks in his own poop.
Well, you need to do some training then, don't you? Well, that's what I'm hearing.
I'm only leasing. I'm limited. Well, see, that's the thing. I'm limited into my knowledge base. And I picked up that Monty Roberts, the gentle rope. Is it the giddy up rope?
Yes.
It finally showed up. So I'm actually anxious. But I'm not getting on, Louie, until this baby comes out because that would be quite dangerous.
Don't do that. No, and I would suggest, you know, check out the university. Online university. Oh, definitely. If you want knowledge.
For sure. Right now, it's just the, you know, money factor limiting. I bought like a ton of his books, and I'm trying to read through some of those. It's just I've got a lot of information. It's just a matter of, you know.
I know. And you're going to have a second kid. You're going to have plenty of time.
My mother is retiring from her job on April 24th, and this child is due May 1st. I'm covered.
God, you just won the lottery.
I did.
Holy smokes.
Can't let, I got stuff to do, Jamie. You know, I can't let kids slow you down.
I'm trying to not say something about my mother watching a child. Let's just say that I need to be close by when he was a baby. And you know what? I think because I know my mom's not listening, I can say my mother, like, I have a twin brother and a brother who's 19 months older than me. So my mother had three small children. And that is 100% the reason that she's crazy right now. And I love her, but she's a little crazy. And I take full responsibility for making her crazy. I get it. I have a kid now. I'm like, yep, we did that to you. Sorry.
Sorry.
Because my child is making me crazy, and I only have one.
Well, that's what I think. I'm thankful. I think, I always say, you know, the higher powers that be knew what they were doing when they put 7-year difference between my son and this next kid, because I don't think I was 14 months apart from my brother, and I don't know how my mom did it. I really don't. We fought like cats and dogs. I mean, we fought constantly. And
you
it just,
made her crazy.
I
and
made her crazy.
And to help you. She's so saint. What a nice lady. Hey, by the way, Jill, but people have been messaging me and asking me if I have any adoption updates.
Exactly. And, yes.
So I just want to let everybody know that our homestay. So the way it works is we have to have an Arizona home study done. So basically Arizona says, oh, yeah, you can adopt. And then we have to petition the government to adopt an orphan. So then we have to fill out that $700 piece of paper and then send that in. And so we have Arizona has to say we're okay. Then the U.S. government has to say we're okay. And then we have to send all of our information to Ethiopia. And then they have to say we're okay. Well, we're almost done with Arizona. It's in the final court proceedings right now. And so then we've got after that, the U.S. and all these forms that make your head spin, the I-600A and then the I-71171. I don't even know. So all of these forms and each one you just have to tick off. Then we have to do this thing called a dossier for Ethiopia. Jill, I have had to order original birth certificates and original marriage licenses and everything.
Gosh.
They are requiring original everything.
Yeah, we thought about adoption. I had some trouble. The reason why there's 7 years in between, I had some trouble getting, not getting pregnant, but I lost three babies to Down syndrome.
They died.
Yeah. So we had explored the idea of maybe adopting, and it was literally so mind blowing. And then just the paperwork and the money. And I mean, luckily, you know, you got Chad who's working for the airline, so you could get your flights over to these places. I mean, it's mind-blowing. And I tell you what, Jamie, I think I speak for everybody when we say just how amazing you and Chad really are to go through this process to adopt this person that you just don't know, you just welcome into your home, to go through all of this. I mean, I can't imagine what you guys are having to deal with. I mean,
that's super nice of you to say. And I think of it like this, don't let time stop you from from doing a dream. You know, like I've had this dream for a long time to adopt and specifically from Africa, but that didn't come into play. But if you have a dream and it's just going to take a lot of time, you know what? Time's going to pass anyway. So yeah. You might as well just get started.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of the thing I was thinking of. What is amazing is my husband is amazing. Like, he'd rather have another kid. You know, initially he wanted another kid. Now he's like, now he's well aware of my advanced maternal age. And first of all, let me back up a little bit and say how revealing and amazing you are sharing that little, like you say it like it's no big deal, but that is unbelievable. And big hugs to you.
Thank you. Well, that's what got us into, after the first one, I needed, you know, an outlet. Like I needed that when I said something was going on and we started riding, I said, you know what, horses always made me so happy. And there was just something about being around them that was calming. And so that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to sign my kid up for lessons. I don't care. I go and we're around the horse. And I'm like, I see these adults riding. I said, you know, I'm going to ride too. Like you're never too old to do anything. And so I'm going to go lessons too. And it's what kind of got me through that period. And then we subsequently had another loss with twins. They actually had identical twin girls, both had Down syndrome, which we found out after the fact. And I think if I didn't have horses and if I didn't honestly find the Horse Radio Network during that time, I probably would have had a lot more trouble getting through. So it's really been helping. So I say it like it's no big deal because it's, you know, I'm able to deal with it. I have an outlet. Yeah. And then, you know, here we are 34 weeks pregnant and baby looks good. Another girl. And so, you know, it's just like, you can't give up, you know, you can't give up on things. You either adoption or, you know, give it one more try. I'm stubborn. my husband loves that part about me. At least I can say, yeah, you know, but, so we gave it one more go and thought, heck, you know what, the risk is like 1 in 100 for me now. So we thought, well, there's 99% chance that we'll be okay. So,
look at the positive.
It doesn't really work like that, but I was like, yeah, whatever. It worked in my mind. And so it's working out. So we you know, went down this road rather than go down the adoption road, but you know, who knows what would have happened in the next couple of years, but it's just, you know, you do anything for your kids, right?
Yeah. Even the ones you don't have.
Even the ones you don't have.
Yet.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
It's you know, it's funny too. Like once we're through all of this Arizona adoption paperwork, then we're qualified to adopt in Arizona in the U.S.
Right.
So I said, well, why don't we take this paperwork and like simultaneously while doing the adoption in Ethiopia, why don't we open ourselves up for the potential to adopt a child in the U.S. that needs a home? And Chad was like, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, can't do that. Gonna have to start all over for that one.
Oh my gosh. But you know what
it's impossible to it's just crazy that there's so many children that need homes and I'm trying so hard to get one and it's like they just are just knocking you down at every and here in Arizona you have to foster then to adopt. So you have to be a foster home. And then you go, oh, I'll be a foster home because I'm going to adopt this sweet baby and I'm going to keep it for 2 years. And then grandma, you know, gets out of prison. She's like, I'll take the baby back. And then you lose your kid.
Yeah.
So because anybody with blood ties is qualified.
Yeah, gets first
right of refusal in the horse, to use a horse term. So anyway, we're going to stay the course and we're going to just keep moving forward. And I don't know if I've told you guys this, but Lucas has named his future brother or sister.
What's the name?
It's so bizarre that it's almost like if for some reason this child shows up with this name, it's so bizarre that it's like, well, just it'll be crazy. So I'm videotaping Lucas and we're teaching him, you know, he's going to have a brother or a sister from Ethiopia. And so the video, I'm videoing him. I'm like, so where's your brother or sister going to come from? He's like, brother. From Ethiopia. Like, well, it could be a sister. No, it's a brother. Brother from Ethiopia. And of course, he calls it Ethiopia, you know, and it's really cute. And I said, well, then what's your brother's name? And he's like, Spurtees.
Spurties.
I said, I'm sorry, what, Sparky? He's like, no, Spurties. And I said, Sparty? What? Spur? He's like, Spurties. And he's dead set on that. His brother from Ethiopia is going to be named Spurties.
So, well, all right, then,
it's
Lucas.
To the point where, like, Chad and I will talk. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, when Spurties comes, and he's like, yeah, Spurties. And we call our future adopted child Spurty. And then we had a discussion on how do you spell Spurties? And he's like, I think spur, like riding spur. And he's like, oh, no, it's E. It's an E. So oh, Spurties, so when he comes home, or she, it could be a girl named Spurties, but how hilarious and adorable is that?
S-P-E-R-T-I-E-S?
No, I went with the, I went with more fina, S-P-U-R, like spur.
Spur, S-P-U-R.
T-E-E-S, like.
T-E-E-S, I like it. Yeah. I'm down.
S-P-U, and he's like, no, there's no U in it. It's an I-E. I'm like, what? No, it's not.
So, you got to remember that one. That way when you know, both your kids grow up, it's like, listen to what your brother wanted to call you.
Oh, I started something, and maybe you could take this too, because it's one of the neatest things I've ever done. And it just comes from sheer laziness, honestly, is when Lucas was born, I would video things on my phone, and you know, like, he burped and then he pooped and then, oh my God, he, like, you know, spit up, and I'm so, oh, it's so cute. I get a video of it. And I had all these videos in my phone that were kind of taking up all my memory. So I started a YouTube channel.
You know what I did? I just did that.
Private.
Well, I guess I didn't do that.
So no, every video you post, I have my own YouTube channel, and then the videos that I post, when you post it, you can select make it private.
Right.
So
right.
I have probably 400 videos of Lucas that all are just a couple minutes long that are private, and they've got no views, but someday he'll be able to go back and we can go back and watch these videos of him as a tiny baby. And I just thought that was such a cool, like, I don't do anything domestic with children. You know, I'm terrible. Yeah. I'm not a Pinterest woman. I'm not gonna, like, craft anything for his room.
You're not gonna be the PTA.
No, it's not.
No PTA, like, for Jamie.
Twice I was supposed to bring snacks to his preschool and I forgot. I'm terrible. Like, it's just, don't call on me for anything, but I can sit on my phone and hit a button. So that's what, right, I've done.
That's great. That's it. Oh, Jamie, you're maternal. Hey, I'm not in the PTA. I always say I'm gonna show up, and then I don't, so, you know, I'm a terrible
person. Have 600 photos of Zara though, so
you gotta toss them on YouTube as well.
I know, I need to,
she's adorable.
Need to post all that on YouTube. Here's baby Zara being born, here's baby Zara's first step, here's like Lucas, like, his channel. And
you had like 3 separate videos of her being born. You had, like, right, didn't you?
Well, I don't know why you know that.
Well, because I was following. I was stalking, Facebook stalking your baby.
Well, I didn't post the videos of her on, maybe I posted it on the auditor page, all the videos.
Oh,
of her.
That's right. That's why.
Yeah, okay. Because
the auditor page.
I don't feel like, on my personal Facebook page with people I went to high school with, that they wanted to see baby Zara coming out of a big horse vagina. I just didn't feel like that was appropriate. So I didn't post them on a regular thing, but yeah, I think there's 2 separate ones. There's the pre call to the vet, and then there's the post call the vet. Cause I had to use my phone to call the vet in the middle of it, cause I freaked out and panicked. And then I called her and I was like, oh God, I don't see a second foot. I see 3 feet. I don't see a nose. I see 3 feet. I'm like, what do I do? She's like, okay, I'm on my way. I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'm like, wait, hold on.
There it is.
That's a nose. That's not a foot. Sorry about that. All right. Talk to you later. Back to videoing. Oh, it's the baby. So yeah, that was reliving the baby Zara birth. Oh gosh.
Great.
Yeah, fantastic.
So Jen say that we have Jerry ready.
Jennifer, how's Jerry coming?
We've got Jerry. Woohoo!
Jerry,
has he been listening to this whole time?
Yes. Do you want me to play it? Here, hang on a second. Let me play it.
Why didn't you tell me that we had him and he didn't to hear me say the word vagina? God.
I don't want to be that girl.
There you go.
That's really horrifying. Jerry, good morning. If you're still on the phone, you haven't hung up on me. Did he hang up on me?
I'm here. It's great to be with you. And if my phone is being tapped, Big Horse Vagina just went all over the air.
Oh, God. Welcome to our very professional radio show that we have, Jerry. Welcome back, I should say. And I understand we are talking to you from Dubai. So the word Big Horse Vagina has gone all the way to Dubai and back now.
You know, not to get too, I don't know if we can get any further afield than that, but at the post position draw today, the press wanted to ask questions about this new order that we, you know, American citizens are not going to be allowed to have their laptops on flights home from these Arab countries. And I tried for a laugh. I said to the press, well, you know, our country's figured out how to prevent somebody from putting a bomb in a laptop that's in the belly of the plane, but not if you put it in the main part of the plane, thinking that was funny, right? And that people would understand that I was making a joke. They were just standing there nodding their heads.
Oh my God, you're that girl too.
Anyway, it's been quite a day here.
The CIA is now listening to say horse vagina right now, Jamie, just so you know.
Jerry, I do totally agree with you though.
Yeah.
It is an odd thing, isn't it?
It's just so strange, and it's strange to be here with keen eyes getting ready for what has for the last 22 years been the world's biggest and most prestigious horse race and answer questions about politics. I mean, but I guess that's the age we're living through.
I know. Well, we'll move on to keen eyes right now for sure, because this horse is the Energizer, but he just won't quit. Tell me, talk to me about Keen Eyes. How's he doing?
You know, Todd Pletcher says he's doing the best he's done since he's had him. And he ran his best speed figures lifetime in the Pegasus going a mile and an eighth. And Saturday, he gets to do what he loves to do, which is run a mile and a quarter. Not as many opportunities in the United States for that as there used to be. I don't think the Lord himself could beat Arrogate on Saturday, but you don't have to win this race to be handsomely rewarded. And I think that Keen Eyes is going to run well.
So I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I'm kind of like, I think he's due. I think he's always the bridesmaid, except for, you know, that whole whatever Travers that he beat American Pharoah. But I think he's due. Jerry, come on. He's going to win.
Hello?
Oh, we keep losing. Jerry's cutting in and out.
He's going to need. I'm back. I can hear you again now.
Okay, good.
He has been the bridesmaid, but he has danced every dance. He runs in only grade ones, and he's the fourth richest horse his age in the world. So there are worse things.
I think he's due for a victory. And I think that maybe, you know, God, when you say God himself couldn't beat Arrogate, I think that maybe God and Keen Eyes could.
Well, from your lips to that Lord's ear. That's what I say about that.
I think it would be exciting.
It would be. Can you imagine a horse who beat American Pharoah at his prime, and then California Chrome, and now Arrogate? Can you imagine such a thing?
I'm telling you, I can. It could happen.
Bob Baffert will refuse to train for us anymore if it happens.
That's true. He might be in big trouble. Well, now, I was reading some stuff about Kenice, and it said that he's coming back from a fracture. What happened?
You know, he had an undiagnosed saucer fracture a year ago at this time. We didn't know it. He tailed off precipitously, ran very poorly here in Dubai. When we got him home, we sent him to Dr. Bramlage in Lexington, and he diagnosed the Fisher fracture. And so we gave him a lot of time off, and then gave him to Todd, and Todd brought him back. And I want to say this. One of the hardest things for any horse to do in horse racing who suffers an injury is to come back to their original form. And Kenice, with Todd's help, has not just come back to his original form. He's doing the best he's ever done right now. And I think that's a remarkable spot of training.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, he seems like he's doing better than he was before. He's working better. He's getting faster, if that's possible. And this is the perfect distance for him. So I think he's going to be one to watch this weekend. Now, I was telling Jill a little bit about your bringing so many people into this horse racing world with the way that you are syndicating horses. Tell us about that.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, the difference between Donegal Racing and most horse racing partnerships is that we don't syndicate one horse at a time. We buy on average about a dozen yearlings and put them into one annual partnership. And so if you belong to Donegal's partnership that year, it doesn't matter which of the 12 horses turns out to be a great horse, you are in on that horse and you own part of it. So there's no pressure on the partner to select which horses they want to be involved in. They just know that if we have a great horse, they're going to be part of it. And that creates a far more enjoyable process for everybody. Nobody wants to encourage somebody to buy a horse that turns out to be not so good. And certainly nobody wants to be the buyer who buys the horse that's not so good. And this way, and I think that's the reason so many people have been drawn to Donegal. They know that if we're successful, they will be. And fortunately we have been most years. And yeah, we have some extraordinary groups. We will have over 30 people here on Saturday in Dubai. We've already sold well over 100 tickets to the Kentucky Derby, and we've sold over 100 tickets to the Breeders' Cup, which isn't until next November, to our partners and their friends. So people say that we travel pretty well. The enthusiasm is high. And the great thing is these are almost all people who never would have been able to be involved in horse racing if it weren't for a partnership opportunity. Cott Campbell, who started Dogwood Racing, was the first person to create a partnership. And I always say that the entire horse racing industry owes Cott and Ann Campbell a big wet kiss for the great thing they did in starting partnership racing.
So what body part do I have to sell to become part of the syndicate?
Well, given the way this interview started, I'm now very nervous.
Oh God, this is terrible. So can a regular person be involved in Donegal Racing?
Yes, indeed. I think they would all think of themselves as regular people. If they go to our website, which is DonegalRacing.com, it gives them additional information and it gives them contact information. We form our partnerships each year in September, and we would love to hear from anybody who is interested.
I'm in. Let's go, Jill.
Let's do it.
We're not going to talk about what body part we have to sell.
No. Nope.
Making Jerry uncomfortable.
Just know we're not going to be teaching him anymore.
Well, Jerry, I could talk to you forever. Please come back on after after you're back from Dubai, and we'll have a little bit less of a delay and we can get into a little bit more about it. But I wish you guys the best of luck, and please give Keen Ice a carrot for us.
I will absolutely do so. I appreciate you having us on, and I'm going to tell people the story about this interview, but I know they won't believe me.
God. Oh, so fun. Thanks, Jerry. Good luck this weekend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, Jennifer, you're in big trouble, Missy.
What have I done? Am I selling body parts on eBay for you now?
You didn't tell me he was ready and on hold. I'm just chatting away about vaginas and he's all listening. What? Oh my God. I've got no chat here.
He's being wiretapped because, you know, of his comments to the press about bombs on the airplane in his laptop. So now the entire government is listening to our conversations.
That's right.
In the morning.
Glenn and I are now on the no-fly list.
You're on the no-fly list. Oh, Jamie, you're going to be on the no-fly list. What are you going to do?
No, I just think it's funny that Jerry's that girl, too. Even boys can be that girl. Well, you guys, this has been so fun, and it's just flown by. Jill, I do hope you will come back and talk to us again. And please take care of yourself. Make sure you're taking your prenatal vitamins.
I am.
And this has been really fun having you as a host.
Oh, I had a great time today. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you. And Jennifer, you've done a fantastic job. And it is hard to talk to Dubai. That is amazing because you have to ask your question and then sit there and wait.
You have to wait. It's patience. And none of us are good at that.
Nope. No, not good at all. Three of us.
But wasn't that cool? Yeah. Keen Ice's owner was willing to talk to us. From Dubai.
So many times. He's so cool. He's just the nicest
guy. He's the coolest guy ever.
Yeah, I
didn't get to talk to him much about his entourage, but yeah, they travel with like an entourage and it's all people that he's introduced to racing. It's very much like Mucho Macho Man and those guys, you know, like let's get the Reeves, you know, get in here and let's jump right in and get involved and do it. Yeah, exactly. The way he came into it. But he makes it to where you don't have to have a fancy life. Like, that's what the partnership is all about. And so we'll have to have him back on to talk more about that. But unfortunately, we've run out of show.
Yeah. Aww.
So I did want to tell you the news story that I believe California Chrome is now going to be shuttling. Remember I told you guys that American Pharoah was going to shuttle somewhere
going south.
California Chrome is going to do that too. He's going to go to Chile.
Isn't that crazy?
To breed. So he's really? Going to, because they're on the opposite breeding schedule as us. So the horses
work,
you know, for 6 months and then 5 months really. And then they're done for the year. Well, then they're like, well, let's cash in. Let's go ahead and send them to Chile where the breeding season is totally opposite. It's like people in Australia or something.
Yeah, because thoroughbreds, you have to do the deed.
Yep. Yeah. It has to be live covered. There's no magic box like Baby Zara came in.
Nope. No mail order babies in the thoroughbred business.
No ice California Chrome. California Chrome.
No, so he's going to Chile. Poor Pink thinks she's like, you know, having baby Jesus every year. Like, I don't know what happened. It's a miracle. Oh, gosh. On that, we will talk to you guys. I'll be here next Monday. I think Glenn is on Friday, correct?
Glenn is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday live from Road to the Horse.
Awesome. All right. Well, he'll be here. And I'll talk to you guys again Monday. And I'm hosting with... Lisa Wysocki.
Good question.
Lisa
Wysocki's coming on Monday. Ooh.
So, and she and I have a good time together. Yeah. And so now I have another fill-in co-host in Jill. So we do appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jill.
Thank you, Jennifer. And thanks to all of our guests today. And you guys have a great day. And Spay Neuter Geld, hit the music. We're over time. We're going to get in trouble.
Sorry,
Glenn.
I suck at this job.
Suck.